Thank you very much, Rachel. And thank you to Nathan as well for the address, which really beautifully complements what I'm going to share with you this morning. Nathan reminded us that our church's new vision, one of the four themes, is adventure. Can anybody remember what the other three are? There are clues on the pillars in the church. Sorry? Growth. Thanks, Paul. Prayer. And encouragement, yes. I think last week we had the second of two sermons on encouragement when Paul was looking at Romans chapter 8. And if you didn't hear that, then do listen to the sermon on the resources section of the church website. A very encouraging sermon. Now, I don't know whether this is an unusual situation, but I'm just about the first person that I'm going to quote from today has actually been speaking in this service. So there we are. It's not one of the usual luminaries. It's none other than Nathan Shipley, who in the Church magazine wrote these words about this sense of adventure that we're thinking of in the new vision that we're working towards. He said, "We want to step out in faith and dependence on God in a risky but not reckless way." So this week and next week we're going to be looking at Hebrews chapter 11, that great chapter of faith. And so if you've got your Bibles, please do turn back to Hebrews 11. I'm not going to go consecutively through these verses. I'm going to go backwards and forwards, picking out different themes from them. But if we look at verse 1, just to begin with verse 1, it says, "Faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see." Even if it's not risky, faith in this first verse sounds strong stuff, doesn't it? Being certain of things and being sure of what we hope for. When we speak about faith, I think we're speaking about two main things. We're speaking about belief in God, but also belief in what He is going to do. So there is, if you like, a sort of twin track to faith. There is belief. In other words, we believe certain things about God. We assent to certain doctrines, if you like. We believe that God made the world, that He has come to redeem the world through Jesus. We believe Jesus to be the Son of God, that He died on the cross for our sins to gain our salvation. We believe in the Holy Spirit. We believe a whole series of things. And that is how we express our faith. We speak of our faith as consisting of belief in certain things. But it's not just that. It's also trust. It's staking our lives on God's promises. So we believe in who God is and in what He has done. But we trust in Him also for our future. Raymond Brown once said this, that our faith does not merely agree with God's word, but acts upon it. Our faith does not merely agree with God's word, but acts upon it. Well, maybe you're sitting here this morning and thinking, well, this all sounds very sort of definite and confident, and my faith isn't that sort of faith. I just don't really feel sure about things sometimes. Maybe you wonder if you're a person of faith at all. But actually, it's interesting to look at in the context of this chapter. Don't forget that in the original version, of course, there weren't any chapter headings. These are a later addition. So if we just go back into Hebrews 10, verses 35 and 6. Here's a word, perhaps, if you're feeling like that this morning. Hebrews 10, verse 35 says, "So do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. You need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised." So just some verses of encouragement there, if that's you this morning. And if you're thinking, you know, don't throw away your confidence, God says. You need to persevere. And perhaps there's times when all of us are in that kind of category where we're wondering and we just need to keep going. So I'll just mention that before we move on. This letter, you see, may well have been written to those who were scattered by persecution. They were certainly in need of encouragement to endure, and maybe we do too. Now, interestingly enough, the last time I was preaching here, I was also preaching on faith. I don't know whether this is just completely random or whether people think that I might be a person of faith. I don't think that's really the case, exceptionally. But on January the 1st at Cent, we were looking at faith and prayer. And we looked then at saving faith, we looked at the prayer of faith, or the spiritual gift of faith, and we looked at daily trust. So today, if you want to hear that, obviously you can also hear that on the through the website. Today we're going to explore further how we can live that life of faith through the inspiration and example of the Old Testament people of faith who are described in this wonderful chapter. And I think the main thing that I want to say about faith, which is why I've been bold or inappropriate enough to actually slightly change the title, is that faith, we are talking about risky faith, yes. But when we think of faith, the important thing for us to remember is, what is it we have faith in? Or who is it that we have faith in? And we have faith in a God who is a great God. And I want us to focus on that as we look at this passage, to give us that confidence that our God is a great God. And we've been singing some songs about that already in this service. So the first thing that we see in this passage, I think, is that our faith is faith in a saving God. The whole Bible teaches that God has saved his people and justified them. Now, by justification, we mean being made righteous in God's eyes. In other words, being made right with God. And that is what we need, isn't it? That's what this world needs more than anything, to be made right with God, to be saved by God, to be part of his people. And the Bible is very clear all through that we are justified by faith. So in Romans chapter 5, at the beginning, it says this: "Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand." We're justified, we're saved by faith. We have faith in a saving God, but our faith is what saves us through his grace. So in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8, Paul says, "By grace you have been saved through faith." Now, I want you to notice from Hebrews 11 that this is not just a New Testament belief. The people of faith in the Old Testament were also saved by faith. It wasn't a faith in Jesus explicitly, they didn't understand that at the time, but it was faith in God, and, as we said earlier, a casting of all their lives upon God. So it was the faith of Noah and Abraham that saved them too. It wasn't the works that they did in exercising their faith. So in Hebrews 11, verse 7, if you look down there, it says, "By faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear, built an ark to save his family. By his faith, he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness that comes by faith." So here is this same belief again, that Noah was made righteous, he was made right with God through his faith. Yes, okay, he put his faith into action and built the ark, but it wasn't building the ark as such, it was the faith that led him to do that, that made him right with God. Similarly, Abraham believed the Lord that he would found a great nation. We'll look at this more in a moment. But his faith was credited to him as righteousness. So in Romans chapter 4 and verse 3, Paul writes, "What does the scripture say?" Now this is quoting Genesis 15 verse 6. "Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness." So if we're people of faith this morning, we believe in a saving God, and our faith in him has saved us. Just look back into the last verse of Hebrews 10. The writer is raising the theoretical possibility of people shrinking back from belief. But at the end of verse 39 he says, "But we are not like that. We are those who believe and are saved." And we too have been saved if we have trusted in Jesus, God's Son, and believe that his work on the cross has made possible forgiveness for us and a restored relationship with God. So the first thing we see from this passage in Hebrews 11 is that the faith that we have is faith in a saving God. But the second thing is this, that we also have faith in a powerful God who keeps his promises. See, the God in whom we trust is not a weakling who is unable to implement what he has promised. He is not powerless such that he cannot put into action what he has said or what he has planned or intended. He's a powerful God. And he's also a loving God. So he's not just got the power to keep his promises, he's got the love and the faithfulness to want to do so and to do so. He's a powerful God. And the first thing that Hebrews 11 speaks to us on this theme is in verse 3, where it reminds us that he's the one who made the world. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. Not only has he made the world, but he's going to reward those who earnestly seek him. Verse 6 speaks of Enoch, one of the amazing characters in the Old Testament. Hebrews 11 verse 6 says, without faith it's impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Now, Enoch, at the end of verse 5 there, is someone who pleased God, it says. Enoch was one of those people in the Old Testament who was translated. In other words, he didn't die, he was just taken up into heaven. And it says that's because he did, well, verse 5 of Hebrews 11. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. And when I was looking at this, I thought to myself, well, is that my highest desire? Is that your highest desire this morning, that we should please God? Genesis 5:24 says that Enoch walked with God. What a wonderful epitaph for him. And what a wonderful aspiration for us, to be known as somebody who walked with God. But notice also the example of Abraham in verses 11 to 19 of Hebrews. There's quite a long passage here about Abraham. Of course, he was the father of all the Jewish nation, and he had this promise from God that he would become the father of a great nation. And of course, this was an amazing promise, because Abraham and Sarah had been unable to have any children. And indeed, they were now both very elderly. But yet God gave him this promise. It says that Abraham, by faith, became a father because he considered him faithful who had made the promise. So that was the essence of Abraham's faith here, that he considered that the God who had made this promise would be faithful and would keep the promise. But as we know, and as it's described in Hebrews 11, God then tested Abraham. Isaac was born. And then in Hebrews 11 verse 17, we read this brief account of the longer Old Testament account of when God called Abraham to sacrifice Isaac to him. Now, this is a quite a difficult story. It's very difficult indeed to understand unless you see it in the context of Jesus coming as God's son to be the sacrifice for our sins. But what is interesting is that what it says about Abraham's faith here, by faith, this is verse 17, by faith Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He had received the promises, was about to sacrifice his one and only son, even though God had said to him, it is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned. Abraham reasoned that God could raise the dead. And figuratively speaking, he did receive Isaac back from death. So as we know, God intervened at the point at which Abraham raised the knife. He intervened and said, don't kill your son. I can see that, you know, you've passed this test, if you like. And there was a ram caught in the thicket that was offered as a substitute for Isaac, just as Jesus was offered as a substitute for us, for our sins. So these people of faith had faith in a powerful God who they believed would keep his promises. And God has made promises to us. And he is powerful. He is able. He is worth us putting our faith in him. He will keep his promises. He's a powerful God. But if we see that our faith is in a saving God, but also in a powerful God, our faith is also in a guiding God who leads us forward. Because all through this passage in Hebrews 11, there is mention about how God is guiding his people and showing them the next step to take in their lives. Indeed, verse 1, it says, faith is being sure of what we hope for, certain of what we do not see. You see, Noah, in verse 7, was warned about things not yet seen. We do not see the future, do we? We do not know what lies ahead. And as the old chorus says, the way we cannot see, but one stands near to be our guide. He'll show the way to me. I know who holds the future, and he'll guide me with his hand. With God, things don't just happen. Everything by him is planned. So as I face tomorrow with its problems large and small, I'll trust the God of miracles. Give to him my all. So when Noah started to build the ark, there was no hint of rain. The earth was dry. It was the desert. But God, by faith, he obeyed God's instructions when doing so seemed foolish. There's that film, isn't there? Is it Evan Almighty, where Noah, where there's a sort of modern retelling of the story of Noah being called to build this ark? And, of course, all his friends and neighbours thought he was crazy. There was no evidence. There was nothing yet seen that would be the reason for him to do what he was doing. But he believed God had spoken to him. He believed God had guided him and that he was leading him to do this. And of course, he was vindicated. Or in verse 8, there's the example here of Abraham again. You see what it describes this moment earlier on when Abraham set out. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. At the moment, Margaret and I feel perhaps we're not quite sure where we're going. But we do believe God is calling us to move to the Peak District. But we don't know where we're going. Next week we hope to find some guidance as we go and worship with some of the people in the Peak District. I'm not saying we're in the same league as Abraham. But all of us in some way don't know quite where we're going. Abraham didn't know where he was going. But he believed God, and he obeyed God. And it's interesting here that the writer to the Hebrews picks out a number of factors in why Abraham was able to do that. Because in verse 10 it says, for he, that's Abraham, was looking forward to the city without, to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. So Abraham's eyes were fixed on the long-term perspective, maybe even the eternal perspective. And of course, that's one of the issues with faith, isn't it? That sometimes when we see the current issues of today or tomorrow crowding in on us, it's harder to exercise faith. But we need to look at the longer-term perspective. When we know that God, who is eternal and who, as we've sung earlier, is yesterday, today, and forever, is the same, he has all that in his hands. Or in verse 15 of Hebrews 11, it talks about the people of faith generally. It says, if they had been thinking of the country they had left, they would have had opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. That's verses 15 and 16 of Hebrews 11. They longed for a better country. What do we long for? Rather than exercising risky faith, do we want to sink back into our comfort zone? As a church, we want to move forward. There's a new ministry starting in a few months' time. There's going to be new opportunities for service, and maybe there's going to be opportunities to do something that you've not done before, or that you'd rather not do. But as we set off on a new adventure as a church, we can have faith in a guiding God who has prepared a future for us. We have a great God. Let's pray, Lord, increase our faith. We have faith in a saving God. We have faith in a powerful God who keeps his promises. We have faith in a guiding God who can lead us into the unknown. Let's walk by faith and not by sight. Someone once said, those who walk with God always reach their destination. Those who walk with God always reach their destination. Let's pray together, shall we? Heavenly Father, we ask that you will help us by your Spirit to be those who walk with God. Thank you, Lord, that you have promised to be walking alongside us, to be with us forever. In this fragile world, you are our only true foundation. Yesterday, today, forever, you are the same. You never change. And Lord, as we look at our world today, there seems to be so much more danger. There seem to be so many more challenges. The world needs the message of the gospel more than ever before. Lord, we pray that you will make us people who take risks, who face up to challenges, that others may come to know of your love through us. Enable us, Lord, to trust in you more and more each day. And we thank you that all of this is possible because you've brought us into a relationship with yourself through Jesus. And as we come to meet around his table now, we pray that you'll help us to remember all that he has done to make possible for us a relationship with you. We ask this for his name's sake.